debts and deliver us from the evil one. How we do that with this confidence and the reason for this confidence in mind to do it rightly. So 1 John 5, verses 13 through 21. So this is the conclusion of John's letter, and he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for of him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. So far, the reading of God's word for us this afternoon. We will sing also a cry for help to the Lord and how prayer is answered. In this case, Psalm 34, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. So there is a chance that next week, again, you will be looking at Lord's Day 50 with the visiting pastor coming by. But let's look at it this afternoon as it gets us into the part on the catechism. Of course, all of the petitions that we've been praying have been petitions. But it gets us into the part of the Lord's Prayer where we focus on the things that, well, we need maybe more directly, more particularly, in this case, our daily bread versus God's glory, His name, His kingdom, and His will. And then that transition there, and talk about that transition this afternoon. But Lord's Day 50 will allow us to do so. Because in Lord's Day 50, the Catechism asks, what is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor, and also your gifts, cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it only in you. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for a while now, especially as we coming to the topic of prayer, this pithy saying, scary saying perhaps, of Oscar Wilde has stuck with me. If you know Oscar Wilde was an author, definitely not a Christian, and he's definitely also not talking so much about God in this saying. But his words have an edge to them, and perhaps also some truth. I think some truth. This is what Wilde said. When the gods wish to punish us, they answer our prayers. When the gods wish to punish us, they answer our prayers. In the Bible, there is this theme. Those who rebel against God, saying, I can do it better, I can go my own way. At some point, God says, I will give you over to your unrighteousness. I will give you over to your iniquity. Stories, fables, myths often come to this. And this may be also what Wilde is thinking of. He was a storyteller. You can think of ancient stories like King Midas. I believe he won a competition and then was able to, well, receive whatever he wished for. If you know what a Midas touches, you know what he asked for. Well, let me let everything that I touch turn to gold. That's what a Midas touch means, right? You turn things to gold. Brilliant, right? If you want to be rich, you just, all that you have to do is touch something and it turns to gold. You have an inexhaustible source of gold. But as the myth continues on, it turned out to be, it was very hard to eat or to drink anything when everything just turns to gold. It's really hard to eat or drink gold. And so in some legends, he eventually goes and says, please, please turn it back. And then instead he got donkey ears for it because of the fool that he was. But it's not just ancient stories. Think about it. We have these myths of, well, if you find a magic lamp and a genie pops up and you can make three wishes, what would you actually wish for? What would you dare to ask for with absolute certainty? What would you dare to ask for that you know would never have any bad consequences or unintended consequences? What would you dare to ask for that you know wouldn't turn out to be a punishment? But it's not just that. I mean, I grew up probably in some ways in the Garth Brooks era, and he definitely had one of the songs was Thank God for Unanswered Prayer, or basically just saying thank God that he sometimes says no. In his case, you know, he's just like, look, I was blinded by love. I thought I was going to marry this lady. Turns out that was not a great fit, and God didn't hear my prayer, and now I'm happily married. Maybe not so much always the case in his, but He recognized, as all of these stories do, that you got to be awfully careful about what you ask for, wish for, or then what we pray for. Like wishes, petitions may have unintended consequences. Or they may be made without the full picture or full understanding of what we're asking for. My question this afternoon is, does that go through your head, go through your mind as you pray? Do you ever think twice about what you're actually asking God in prayer? Now, starting off like this may almost seem like, well, it's here we are encouraged to pray, and now the pastor seems to be saying, oh, it's almost dangerous to ask God for anything. That can't be the case. God always tells us to bring our hearts to Him, make our petitions, do so with thanksgiving, yes, but make our petitions. And the very fact is that we are so dependent on God that we need Him for everything. This caution is not meant to make us pray less, but I hope it alerts you to the fact that how we pray should get our attention, and what we pray for should get our attention. Especially when we make our petitions, when we make our requests known to God. And I'm thinking here as in a theme to this afternoon, as petitions, very much those things that we ask for, well, God to do for us, His gifts to be given to us or to people around us. Not so much that His kingdom would come, that His name would be glorified, but those things that allow us to live. If the catechism students remember, the Lord's Prayer being that house, that building, these petitions that focus on our needs, allowing us to glorify His name. But that will come out also as we go through this sermon as to where these petitions fit in. It doesn't mean that we mindlessly or carelessly should ask God for everything and anything. We must follow God's word on how to pray our petitions. And the Apostle John makes it very clear to us. He has a lot of confidence even. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. But you notice what the key in this passage is, the key to the confidence. He says, is to pray according to God's will. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So we should be thinking, how do we pray according to God's will? Well, thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. This is what we've been doing in the last number of weeks. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we started to go through the petitions. And so maybe it's also good this afternoon to take that step back and saying, what do we learn from what Jesus teaches us over the first part of the Lord's Prayer? We're halfway through, about to begin the petitions that make our needs clear, praying for our daily bread, forgiveness of sins, and the protection of the evil one. It's a good point to look backwards and forwards about what we're just going to do. So what have we learned over the last number of weeks as we studied the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer? What is God's will for us in the first half? Well, even if we just review those petitions, right? Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the main ideas that we've come back to again and again, in fact, that we said it was the key in prayer, is that hallowed be God's name, God receive all the glory. And that we've come back to twice is that our prayers are to be focused on God, His glory, His kingdom, His will. If you want to pray according to God's will, you must not have self-centered prayers, but God-centered prayers. The starting point, the beginning, we'll see also very much the ending, but it's there at the heart, the start of our prayers. And we'll come back to this later. Is going to be important also as we make our own petitions. But that's the heart, isn't it, as Jesus teaches us? To pray according to God's will is to pray God-centered prayers. Another way that Jesus teaches us to do this is, well, when He gives us His instructions to pray in His name. Every once in a while, this question comes up, definitely in catechism and elsewhere, of like, why do we always pray in Jesus' name? We just add that. We're just used to it. It's not in the Lord's Prayer. No, but it's something that Jesus taught us more regularly, especially, let's say, John 15, saying, if you ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. What does it mean? Have you ever thought about it? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? What does it mean to end your prayer in Jesus' name or in Christ's name? Amen. Well, it's not just the phrase that's meant to end your prayer. It's meant to color or characterize all that we pray. To really pray in Jesus' name means that at the very least that we pray with the help of Jesus Christ. I bring this prayer to God in Jesus' name, with Jesus' help, as my great high priest, as my intercessor, as my mediator. I come to God, Father, I come to your throne in Jesus' name. We don't pray on our own when we pray in Jesus' name. We also ask God to work in the name of Jesus, which means by the power of Jesus. Not our own power, but that Jesus then not only would give the power, but then also in light of that, receive all the glory. We want our prayers to be answered to the glory of Jesus Christ. Those words in Jesus' name make our prayer God-centered again, at least when we pray it, knowingly, self-consciously, what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Now that's maybe a bit abstract, but let's break it down a little bit more. Think about how does saying in Jesus' name in your prayer make you mindful of the things that you're going to pray for? Or mindful of how you must pray according to God's will? Well, when we pray in Jesus' name, like we said, we pray with Jesus' help. We're asking Jesus to help us ask the Father for whatever it is we're praying for. Well, that raises the question, right? Are the things that you pray for things that you can confidently ask Jesus to help you with? If Jesus were that as you call on Jesus' name, you say, Jesus, please take this petition to your Father. Do you pray for the kinds of things that your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer, your friend could ask his Father on your behalf? I mean, if yes, that is incredibly powerful, isn't it? Because then you pray and you say, in Jesus' name, I know that this prayer is going to be given to Christ, and Christ will take it as that incense, that pleasing aroma to God to bring it before him, that he will speak a good word for what I'm asking for, because he is the great advocate in heaven at the right hand of God. Right, but if you have any doubts, if you maybe realize that maybe this is the sinful hard part of my heart that's asking for this, maybe this isn't actually the good that I really should be seeking, or maybe I am not asking for these things with the right heart, from the right hearts. And to say, I pray in Jesus' name, will challenge you. Where does that come from? What do you do about it? How does that going to change what you're praying for? And the petitions that you make and how you pray them. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer remind us to remain God-centered in our prayers. When we continue on in the prayer, we hear the petitions that God will pray, that God's will for us is to pray. God teaches us, ask for daily bread, ask for the forgiveness of your debts, and ask not to be led in temptation, but delivered from the evil one. Now, each one of them we're going to unpack again in the coming weeks, whether in catechism or in the afternoon service, But each one of them, right, they also, well, the Lord is also not just teaching us what to pray for, but how to, like daily bread or to forgiveness of sins, but also to forgive others. There's lots that is packed within there about how to pray and what God's will is for how to bring them before Him. They all have a particular lesson. But when we take them together this afternoon, just overlooking them, overviewing them, you see, right, how God encourages us to pray according to His will for our physical needs, daily bread, our spiritual needs, forgiveness and grace, and protection, the aid, the help that we need in delivering us from evil. These petitions remind us that God knows our needs, and He knows what we need in order to pray in Jesus' name, to live to His glory, to have His kingdom come, and to do His will. When Jesus encourages us to pray for them, that means we should, with confidence, pray them while remembering why we're praying them, and that is to give glory to God, as, for example, Lord's Day 50 does. Right? Our daily bread isn't just about that we receive what we need and asking for God's blessing, but also that through that blessing we may trust in God. It's always, again, God-centered, even in the petitions we ask for ourselves. So that's what we learn from the Lord's Prayer. We can expand on this. We can look at other prayers recorded in the New Testament. Jesus' high priestly prayer, the prayers of Paul within the New Testament, each one of them are recorded as to teach us more about the kinds of petitions that God encourages us to pray. Whether pray for the unity of believers, as Jesus Himself did, unity to pray for the church that is living in this world, but not of the world. Prayer for our growth in knowledge of Jesus Christ, that our eyes of the hearts may be opened, that we may see the glory of God. Prayer for the Holy Spirit, an increased sanctification. Any of these petitions we could just take and pray with confidence as they are offered according to the will of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. But that's hardly everything that we encounter in life or bring before God in prayer. There's likely, if you look at your own prayers, there's many things that, yes, may overlap. You find in the New Testament, maybe other things that you ask for, that you may be an important need, important situation, a request that you make because of the things that you encounter in your day-to-day life that aren't mentioned in these prayers. How do we bring those before God according to His will? Well, in many ways, we already answered that in Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45 has a wonderful question of what belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him. We touched on that a little bit, talking about calling on from the heart. We must do so humbly as we know our need and our misery, so that we humble ourselves before God while also doing it confidently. We must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His word. We take those two, humility and confidence, and we can work this out as to what does it mean to bring our petitions before the Lord. So first, when you seek the Lord for something, any one of His blessings, pray boldly. Now, of course, how do you do that? I started off this afternoon saying, well, you got to be cautious. Now you say you got to be boldly. Which is going to give? Well, think about how you can be bold in prayer. How do you increase your boldness, your confidence in prayer? So like a little kid, you just stomp your feet, louder voice, this is what I need and I want it now. How do we do this in prayer? Do what saints have always done. You stand before God in prayer on the basis of His revealed will, His word, in confidence. Basically meaning, argue with God. Not argumentative. But argue. Make your case. you have a petition to bring before God, if you're asking for something that may not clearly fall under your daily bread or the forgiveness that you need or one other petition that you may draw on from the New Testament, what do you do? Well, make your case before the Lord. Why do you expect God to grant your prayer? Think. Would this petition, if God would give this, be a great way for God to be glorified? Right, remember, this is where we're coming back to. Be God-centered in your prayer. And as Jesus teaches us, use that. And also bringing our petitions to God. Tell God how He will receive glory in your requests. Show Him that you've thought about His kingdom, His name, His will, and how this fits in with what you're asking of Him. Let that make you pray fervently, sincere, confidently. And perhaps you can do that. Draw in something like God's attributes or His promises. You may pray for someone who's walked away from the faith. You may pray again, Lord, just bring him back. Lord, just bring him back. Make your case. Lord, bring him back, because I know you are a patient God. Lord, I know you love to show mercy to those who go away. You are the good shepherd. You look after the lost sheep. You have said so. Hear my prayer. Make your case. Build on his attributes, who he is, what he has revealed. Build your case on his promises. Lord, this child has been baptized. You've granted these promises that whatever happens, you will turn it to the good of this child of yours. And so, Father, I heartily pray that you may grant healing, that you may bring them back, that you may watch over them, that you would shake them up, whatever the petition may be. And maybe for someone else, and maybe for yourself. Go back to what God has promised you at your baptism. Go back to who God has revealed himself in his word to be to you. And you can be confident. And you can argue without being argumentative, because you're just coming to God. And actually, you are giving glory to him, because saying, Lord, your word is trustworthy. You are faithful. And because of all of this, I come to you. If you take serious God's word and character, that in itself gives glory to God. And that was also how you can be God-centered even as you make your petitions. But at the same time, do it humbly. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, "No, not my will, but your will." As we come boldly before God, give him thanks for the ways in which his glory, his character, his promises have been life-saving and life-granting to you. Know that you pray with limited knowledge, limited power, limited wisdom, and a sinful heart. Confess that before God in all humility. Know that you can't always distinguish those things that you really desire because of God's glory and those things that you desire because you have sinful motives and sinful desires. Confess that your confidence often fails because you're not mindful of God's glory in prayer, or that your confidence sometimes leads to arrogance because you do think that you know better than God. Be humble. Not just careful in what you pray for, but careful how you pray. And yet do it boldly and confidently because of who God is. Do you notice what praying according to God's will does? We've only touched on a couple of things. But if we follow our Lord's instruction, don't you think that our prayers often could be a bit more thoughtful, or maybe a lot more thoughtful? You may be used to bringing many things to God in prayer, And it is great. You may have a prayer list. You may have lots of things that are on your heart and you bring before God for yourself, for people around you, for the church. And you may know some of these petitions the Lord will grant, but others that you're praying what God is promising us to give. But maybe sometimes it's good to just take the time to pray for one, to think through how they would relate, how it would relate to God's glory. To take the time to present them before God in light of who He is, the promise that He's made, His character and covenant. But it's time that is worthwhile. Time that is glorifying to God. Effort that will itself give glory to God as we pray, because it arises from a heart that knows God and is God-centered. The other thing it does is that praying according to the will of God also helps us to pray when, well, our prayers aren't being seemingly answered in the way that we want. So when we learn to pray truly God-centeredly, we also know that whenever we offer our petitions, it's not simply about us. And that will encourage us to just go back to God in prayer again. The more that you've thought about the reasons in which God may be glorified or the reasons in which God may fulfill a promise, the more reason you have to pray for something again, because you know, God, you are good, and you are patient, and maybe this is not your timing, but I'm bringing it here to you again for the reasons that I've stated. And yet doing so at the same time humbly. Maybe it is not the right time, and maybe you don't know, we don't know God's will. That we expect that, because our prayers are far from the final word on any matter. They are, as the Westminster Catechism says, just our offering of our desires before our God and offering them to Him according to His will. And one more thing that this does, praying according to the will of God, and it's the fact that as we do this consciously, we also know that our heart is scrutinized as we do so. As we pray boldly and humbly, our heart is not dissected, but it is searched. It's what parents do, don't they? Kid comes with a petition and they ask, "Do you really want this? Okay, you want a dog. Do you know all the responsibilities that come with it? Just making sure." Do you really want this, or are you just asking this because someone else has it and you want to be like them? But you're not like them. You can be you. There's so many petitions that may be made for the wrong reasons, the wrong knowledge, the wrong or with unintended consequences. Parents sometimes may give a simple no. Parents may also sometimes just ask some questions. Is this really what you want? What is your real motivation? How concerned really are you about this? Is this exactly what you're asking for? Or is there something else that you really actually want? Do you need this? When we pray God-centeredly, His name, His will, His kingdom, we may expect that those petitions may ask us those same questions. And reminding us that when we come to God, we first say, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. We are the children. He is the Father. He searches our hearts. So we may say that praying according to the will of God will help us to grow in prayer. But not just in prayer, to grow in trust, to grow in humility, even to grow in confidence as we make our petitions to God. Amen. Let's stand in response and sing hymn 78. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.